Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. We're rolling.
What's up, boo?
We got another one in.
Man.
Before I take off to California.
Get ready to leave. Are you so excited?
Yes. I am definitely excited to see my parents. The only, I think, downside is the limited mobility, because I don't get a car. Which is fine, because it's like where I have nowhere to go.
Right.
But it would be nice, like when my dad goes to work in the morning, that I can just, you know.
Go to your mom's?
Not go to my mom's, but go to the beach. Like he's
right.
not far from the beach. Go explore.
How far away do they live from each other?
About 45, 50 minutes. Not far.
Okay. So is he what, in Carlsbad or?
Yeah, very close to that. He's in Vista. It's called Vista.
Okay.
But that's my hometown. But most people know Carlsbad because of the beach. So I usually just say Carlsbad, but it borders Carlsbad.
Right.
He's about 5 minutes away. But yeah, so dad is in North County, San Diego, for those that aren't familiar with the area. And then mom is like in essentially South County, Orange County.
Oh, okay.
So like there.
Yeah,
no, she's like in San Clemente.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar. Absolutely. Dana Point.
Mm-hmm. Dana Point
is usually where people take off to go to Catalina Island. So that's kind of like the claim to fame there, like why people go. But San Clemente is just fucking stunning. It's beautiful. But so is San Diego. Like my parents live in
Del Mar
is amazing. La Jolla is amazing.
God, I love La Jolla.
And that's another reason where I'd be like, oh, it'd be really nice to go to the Coves, or it'd be really nice to go to Pacific Beach and check it out. My old stomping grounds where
or
I would just get
Sunset Cliffs.
Yeah, just get drunk and walk around. I don't want to do that now, but I did that for many, many years.
It would be good, like, to, you know, go explore your what you did as a
kid. Yeah, my hood, right.
When's the last time you went out there and did that? I know you were out there briefly, last year?
Yeah, I went out twice last year, pretty much back to back. So I went out for a wedding for like 2 days, 3 days.
Right.
And then like 2 months later, I went back for the big visit. Now, the big visit last year was just as we say in Hebrew, a balagan. It was a mess. It was a big mess because of the COVID and the fucking, did you test? And you said you weren't going to go out. And now here's the thing. Like I stuck it out. I stuck to my guns about the whole deal. And, you know, you can do what you want and the other person can do whatever they want. But I really stuck to my guns and I'm proud that I did, because now a year later, guess what? No one fucking cares.
Right.
Mom doesn't care.
Oh,
dad
good,
never cared.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dad never cared. So mom's like, whatever, just come out and
mom
I want to see you.
Mom doesn't care. Here's the thing. Mom had open heart surgery.
Yeah. She has some legit concerns.
Yeah. She right out of surgery, like imagine your surgeon telling you, like, if you hang around this person,
I mean,
they can tell you.
Yeah. Open heart's no joke.
So this person essentially saved her life. So she's going to take their advice.
It's not like she had a mole removed.
Right. She's going to take their advice with a little more than a grain of salt. So if they give her some direction, she's going to follow that guidance. Fair enough. Whatever. She was concerned. But now a year out, nobody gives a fuck. No mask, no nothing. Like we can just go and live and not, I don't have to take a PCR.
Nice.
It's so nice.
Are you like splitting? Are
yeah.
You
five,
split
5 days
okay,
dad,
cool.
5 days mom.
Does your mom work?
She does, but I'm coordinating it so that like her last day of work, the next day, the next morning, she comes pick me up.
Very cool.
So that will be good.
Do
I'm
they
very
get
excited.
Along, your parents?
They don't have
it's
to.
It's not like this vitriol hate or anything, but they're
no,
civil?
They don't. They're civil, but they don't have to get along because like the two kids are grown.
Right. But,
and
but
everything's
it's not
been,
like War of the Roses, right?
No, like no one's trying to sabotage the other's life or anything like that. And I think that, you know, there were years where it was at the beginning where it was really bad. And then it was like kind of indifference. And then maybe someone felt slighted. And then there was a couple more years of resentment. So it's been 10 years since they were divorced.
Oh, wow.
So which is a long time, but also not.
They got divorced when you were in college, right? Like later.
No, after.
After college.
I was, I completed college. I went to Australia. I went to Thailand. I came back. I was home for about a year, and that's when it happened.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I was 24, 25, and so that is a little different than when you get... Now, I don't know what is worse.
Yeah, I don't either.
But as an adult, you know, expecting your parents to, you know, live together until old age...
I think that would almost be harder, to be honest.
I think so, too, because they... Even though you're...
It's like, why? Like, what is it at this point
right,
that
but,
you can't work through?
But it was more like...
two children.
I'm their child, but I wasn't a child. So they a lot of times felt like they could share things with me that I'm like, I don't want to hear this.
And you're the oldest or is
yes.
your, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. I was the oldest. So I had to just kind of be, I had to be witness to things that I probably like shouldn't have been let in on.
Are they, yeah. I know your dad has a girlfriend. Is your mom remarried?
Remarried.
Really? And
yes.
What's your stepdad like?
He's really more of my mom's husband.
Okay.
Like,
you really spent time with him?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I've spent time with him. It actually, and I've told this story before, but just briefly, that my mom and him dated when my mom was in high school.
I remember you
so,
telling
like,
me this
it
now.
Was kind of a return, right? So that was kind of odd. But listen, like, he makes my mom happy.
And
he's
is he
happy.
Cool to you?
He's cool.
Oh, nice.
I smoke a doobie with the guy. Like,
okay.
He's cool. He's chill.
Cool.
They have a great time together.
Good.
So I'm like, fuck it. What more could you want?
Yeah, you
know,
see
he treats
your
her great.
Happy.
Yeah, yeah. And dad's doing great. Dad's doing awesome as well.
He has a girlfriend, right?
She's super cool.
Oh, I remember.
She's
you
really
that
fucking
too.
Cool too. So I mean, like, everybody.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
good.
Just really nice.
Everyone's in a good spot.
Everyone is in a great spot. So it took a while to get there, but we're there.
Will your sister come back?
I talked to her actually on the way to your house, and I think that's going to be a no.
Why?
Who really knows?
Okay.
She says that the tickets are too expensive, but it's one of those things where I think her and my mother's husband, so my stepdad technically, do not get along well. And apparently she was banned from the house forever. But again,
banned.
Like, she cannot stay at the house anymore.
Is that still the case?
I don't know. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, it would just really be nice to spend time with my mom drama free. Like, that would be great to just. And the way that, you know, my mom's energy is and my energy is a lot more congruent.
Then when you add in
my sister,
right.
You know, my sister, it seems like, and I don't even know if she's fully aware of it, but it seems like she just likes to go against the grain for the sake of going against the grain. She came to visit me for my 30th 5 years ago with a...
Here?
Yes.
Were
with
you here?
With my best friend from home. And it was just a nightmare. Like, me and my friend would be like, how about we eat this food? And she would be like, no. I want that food, like, just to create problems.
She's not a go with the flow kind of person.
No. And she was having headaches and period cramps and like all these ailments. And I'm like, you're here for like
just
72
vacation,
hours.
Right.
Like, it was 3 days. How could so
Take
many things
Advil.
Right go wrong? She didn't dress accordingly. She came to visit me in late May, and it's hot and it's humid.
Yeah.
And she's dressing like a hipster in the middle of winter in San Francisco.
Because it's always cold in San Francisco, or chilly.
Yeah, and she likes that kind of fashion. And so I'm like, you can't wear
hoodies.
Like flannel with combat boots and pleather pants. Like, you're going to be miserable. She didn't listen, and she was not having a great time. So...
That was the last time you saw her?
The last time I saw her was a few months after that at my cousin's wedding in August of 2017. Yeah, that's the last time I've seen her in the flesh.
And she lives in San Francisco. What does she do?
I don't know. And it's not because I don't know. It's that things are constantly in flux.
Gotcha.
So it's like, what is she doing now? I don't know. She was unemployed for a year and a half during COVID.
In like the most expensive city in the United States.
Right.
Or one of them.
Yeah. And then it was like all of a sudden she had zero jobs. And then she had three jobs. And then she had one job. And then she had no job. And then she has one job. So it's like... She's kind of more involved in like hospitality and also does a lot of like kind of bougie fitness stuff.
Wow.
You know, like a Pilates, gyrotonics, like shit like you're like, what? Like that white women do that, you know, hire people like my sister to instruct them to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she's not like just a LA fitness, like Zumba instructor. Like she, it's like the equipment is
the
expensive. Yeah. So, but I don't know if she's doing that anymore. Because again, like everything is constantly in flux. So I was like kind of disappointed that I wasn't going to see her because I feel like I should see only sibling. But then I was also kind of relieved because I...
That you'd have a drama-free Christmas with your mom.
That I don't right. I don't have to worry about my mom worrying about her husband who's going to have problems with my sister. My sister makes a scene and she wants to stay in a hotel. My sister asked me, she's like, how about I come down and we share like a room together at a hotel? And I'm like, are you
you mean for Christmas?
Yeah. I'm like,
what?
I'm staying with our parents that we have a relationship with. Why would I go there and stay in a hotel when my mom has an extra guest bedroom for me? Like,
and she was serious?
Yeah. I said, oh, I heard you're banned. And she's like, I'm not banned. And I'm like, you're fucking banned. You know, and I'll just, you know, I kind of
You'll bust her chops.
Yeah, I'll bust her chops. So she was like, okay, well, how about we like, can you go havesies on a hotel? I'm like, no, fuck you. I'm staying at the house, idiot. Like,
and how could she go havesies living in San Francisco and being a Pilates instructor?
I don't
Unless
know.
She's working for the Kardashians.
I don't know. I mean, she makes like quote unquote good money, but it's like the cost of living is so high.
It's
that
egregious.
You know, so she'll be like, oh, I'm a bartender making like 25, 30 bucks an hour, which is to me is insane.
Which is like $7 an hour.
But
here.
Then when her rent that she lives in a closet and she's paying like $3,000 or something, you're like, of course it has to be that high.
Right.
Because how would anyone live? So, yes, long story short, very excited to go home to California.
Because you're Jewish, mm-hmm. You didn't grow up celebrating Christmas, right?
No.
It's not like anyone has a Christmas tree. It's not like you do the Christmas.
Mm-mm. I tried to propose that to
ever?
My father.
Ever?
I said, how about we get a Christmas tree? Because that looks cool. And my dad said, how about go fuck yourself?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Not so much because he was like hates Christians or anything, but he's like, we're fucking Jews. Like, we're not gonna, that's not our tradition.
You've
and that's
never
money.
Had a Christmas tree.
No. Well, in my house now, my roommate puts on, and there's a little nativity
but
scene.
Up,
no, never. Never, never, never.
That's
no way.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Most
Do you
Jews
enjoy
don't.
It? Yeah. I mean, clearly.
Do I enjoy Christmas or do I enjoy...
Yeah.
Oh, now I fucking love it.
Now, did you do Hanukkah, like where you got a present every... How many days
yeah,
is this, it?
These are lies that we tell the goys. Okay. But yeah,
like
I would tell...
Your menorah
Yeah,
whatever.
I would tell my non-Jewish friends that it was Christmas every day for 8 days.
Of course.
But... No, I didn't get a present every day.
No?
No way.
Did you get presents at all?
Yeah, you get... Do you know what gelt is?
Uh-uh.
It's shitty chocolate, and this is the most Jewish thing you'll ever hear. It's chocolate, but they're coins. So chocolate coins is like wrapped in gold foil to resemble fucking money.
Yes.
Because Kanye was right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Kanye,
I mean, could anything be more Jewy? It's like, here's chocolate that looks like money. I'm like, oh, God.
So that's a thing?
Yeah, you'd get geld, you play the fucking dreidel, which is fun for 4 minutes flat,
right.
And you're like, this is
sure.
lame. And then we did the menorah, we would do that, but my dad was like, all right, 8 days is a long time.
Right.
Probably day 4 or 5, he's like, enough of this bullshit.
I'm over it.
Yeah, and being in a Jewish household, it was more so the cultural aspects than like the religious aspects.
Sure.
Both my parents are like very neurotic, especially my father. So my dad would light these candles, but then immediately would be afraid if he walked out of the room that they would fall
would
over and light the house on fire. So it was like we would have them. They would burn. My dad would be keeping an eye on them like the whole time. And then then he's like, an hour's enough.
So what's the tradition, the typical or the Jewish tradition once you light the menorah? Is it supposed to like stay on for a couple hours or the whole night while you're celebrating?
No, I mean,
is there a certain dinner that you have?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they burn for as long as
just with different religions learning, right?
They burn like relatively quickly, but you know, I'd say if you go to bed, you should probably blow them out.
Yeah, I mean,
but yeah, it was every night for 8 nights. You light one and then you have to light two, so you have to get like 1 and 2, 3, 4
for each night.
Right,
okay.
Right. So that's how many candles you need for the whole deal. And it's a very minor holiday on the Jewish calendar.
Right.
But because it has to compete with Christmas, we really try to jazz it the
fuck
up.
Of course. I mean, I get it.
Yeah, and it's not cool compared to Christmas. Well, you try to rep it, but...
And I do feel like I do want to be respectful of other people's beliefs.
Why?
And I do feel like... I mean, because, I want the same in return. And I do feel like everything is so centered around Christmas that the ignorance of some people not celebrating is... especially, I think, in America, people don't understand. Like, what do you mean you don't celebrate Christmas? Like, everyone makes this assumption.
Yeah.
And then, you go, some people don't even, the Jehovah Witnesses, they don't believe
don't do
in
anything.
It.
Yeah.
You've got to be mindful of all of that. And I just think that now it's become so commercialized that it's that's the sad part, right, wrong, or indifferent. But it's fascinating for me to learn what other
cultures
and traditions and religions do.
Yeah.
Because, I grew up in Indiana. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd ever really met a Jewish person until I went to college. And
really?
I was fascinated.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 15,000 people.
Yeah.
In the
and
of
kind of all the same, like,
Northern
upbringing.
Indiana. Yeah. It was
so
just very,
not a lot of diversity. Not
no.
that that's.
And
it's one of those things, is that so important? It's like, yes
it
and no.
It is for me. And I think that's why I'm so drawn.
Okay.
To different races, cultures, religions. That's why I love to travel because growing up and, there's not a lot going on. Chicago wasn't far, which was great. I loved going into the city because it was like, Warsaw it's a great place to raise a kid. I am grateful that, I think in terms of work ethic and, there's so many foundationals that are so important that I am grateful for.
Midwestern hospitality.
Yes, and work ethic. I mean, even as an employer, most of my most successful people that work for me are from the Midwest.
Hmm.
It's a weird thing. It is a thing. But I'm so drawn to different cultures, religions, races, whatever. It's fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I love when I went to Purdue. Do you know Purdue is one of the most culturally diverse universities in the world?
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that until I got there. And now it's like a thing. And I met people from and became close with people from all over the world, international students.
Yeah, sure.
It was so fascinating. And I loved that part of my college experience. And I feel bad for, online programs and kids that go to community college.
Yeah.
It's not bad for them. Obviously, I think any education's phenomenal. But that for me is equal
to the education,
not more than to
the received.
Actual academic education. So
that's really what college is about.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
I remember meeting one of my friends who was from Belgium and then, a lot of Africans, a lot of Middle Eastern. I mean, just from everywhere, Australia, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
One of my roommates was from the Philippines. And I mean, it was just so cool and fascinating. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, for me, learning about Hanukkah is just like, I'm sitting here with my mouth open, burrito, wow.
I'm glad someone finds
cool.
that interesting. Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. It's funny.
You do any of that when you go back?
No, fuck no.
Okay.
No. And it's one of those things where it's like I've completely lost all of my faith. And along with that, comes you lose a lot of the traditions as well.
Sure.
And both my parents are now even way less religious than they were when I was growing up, and my dad's a full-blown atheist, but we haven't really kept any of the traditions, which is fine. But there is a part of me that would to partake in something like that again.
It's
just
like
for the
fellowship.
Sake of community,
because
right. I do remember growing up, and it was nice knowing this sounds really lame, but having these are my people.
Absolutely.
And they're gonna have my back no matter what, because we come from a shared cultural history, especially, I mean, with most ethnicities, but especially with Jews and being, you have the Holocaust, and not just the Holocaust, but just, millennia of persecution and things like that, and being the other, that there's just kind of this shared sense of when you meet another person, that's why we call each other, we're part of the tribe.
Right.
And when you meet another person, it's oftentimes you feel connected to them and you're like, I got your fucking back. You got my back.
That's cool.
It's sort of a thing, like a tacit kind of agreement when you meet people oh, we got each other. We get each other.
I think that's cool. I mean, I can relate in a sense, even though it's obviously not to the degree, but when I moved here, I was drawn to people from the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my husband's from the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of have that thing. Oh, you're from Ohio. Oh, you're from Indiana. Oh, I'm from Illinois. I'm from Michigan. Like, it's so weird. We all kind of migrate to each other. So I understand what you're saying, mm-hmm. which kind of begs the question for me to get your perspective without going off too much on a tangent. You mentioned Kanye, mm-hmm. You being, you know, raised Jewish. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on his remarks and...
Well,
and his
my perspective is probably not the perspective most would have in general. But
do you think he's crazy?
I think he's hilarious. I think he
is
Andy Kaufman. That's
a good analogy.
You know, like the things that he says. Like, there's this video that Blitz and I reference often. I don't know if you saw it, where he's being interviewed by the paparazzi, and he's talking about a certain type of doctor that he knows, and he goes, I'm not gonna say what kind of doctor he is or what his ethnic background. I'm not gonna say it. And he pauses and then he just goes, he was Jewish. Like, he can't help himself.
He cannot
help himself. And that I popped so fucking hard the first time I heard that. And I go, listen, this guy's hilarious. I am not the type of person to get offended about anything.
Right. Me either.
The only time I'm ever actually offended, like feel that feeling of like, is when someone says something to me, like someone close to me says something to me. It's not about me being a woman, like saying something about women or Jews or immigrants or people from Israel or anything. It's when they say something that is so personalized to me. Like they say, like, you're like this or you're a hypocrite. That's when I get offended. Not when they say something about a group of people I happen to belong to because of a chromosome or a shared, you know, cultural history. Like, who fucking cares what Kanye says about Jews?
If he said
something about Anna Hummel, then maybe.
Right.
But
right. Now I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't understand being offended on behalf of a group I like happen to belong to for something that like as loose as like a gender or something.
I mean, I get that. I get that. I think you have to realize that he clearly has no awareness, mm-hmm. no filter, a lot of issues. He's in pain. You know, he's his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, for me, I just think I tune it out. If I don't like it, I tune it out.
Yeah. And I see really two perspectives. So from the Jewish side of things, like the PC thing to say is, and what most Jewish people would say is that like, this is kind of like undertones that led to what happened with the Nazi party.
Yeah, the Holocaust, 100%.
You know, like these are the types of things that people would say about the Jews collectively that led to something as absolutely ridiculous as a genocide against a group of people based on
horrible.
Just what people
look like,
think, like just these like notions of like how Jews are and that they're, you know, cheap and they'll fuck you over or whatever. You know, they run the media, they run the banks. Even if that is partially true, that kind of ethos is what led to something
and
like
it's as egregious
as the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So people are, it's like a dog whistle to the community, like, fuck, it's going to happen again.
Right.
And that's why people start to freak out,
sure.
which I understand. But then the other side of me goes like, really, let's not give that much attention and credence to a crazy person
going off. Ignorant, crazy person.
Right.
Who's making no sense. He's all over the board. I do think that there is, to your point, there's some danger mm-hmm. in what he's saying. And I think I don't agree with it. I do believe in the First Amendment, so I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Right.
But I do think at some point you have to have some awareness as a human mm-hmm. that the things you're saying are reckless.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The things you're saying are not true.
Mm-hmm.
And you look crazy.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't think Kanye's really changing any minds and hearts about how people felt about the Jews. If you hated the Jews before, you know, you probably still do. And if you didn't before, Kanye probably isn't changing your mind. You know,
I still don't even get the hate. So, I don't understand how people hate. I don't get any of that. I don't know.
Yeah. But then again, and I go back and forth, and I think this is almost like the problem of being a nuanced person is like when people ask your opinion on something, you start, well, I kind of feel like this and I kind of feel like that.
It's hard to give a firm answer.
Right. Because you understand.
Crazy.
Right.
In short, he's crazy.
He's crazy. Oh, shit. Where was I going with this? Kanye. Oh, I think it's also important the fact that like if someone were to critique like the Jewish culture or Israel or something like that, it's also important for Jewish people to go, anytime we experience a criticism, we can't just go, racist, anti-Semite, you're going to hell.
I think that goes with every culture.
Right.
I think that's a really important point that every race, religion, culture needs to understand.
Right. So like if you say as a white person, ish, white, whatever I am, and I go, hey, I've noticed that in the black community, single parent homes are kind of a problem. Fatherless homes are a problem. They go, you're racist. It's
right.
Like, guys,
right.
This is a pattern I've
That's
noticed.
Why no one wants to say anything.
Right. So then it's like if you find something in a different culture or religion, you go, this may be not the best. You can't just combat that criticism with you're racist.
No.
So I think it should be a little bit more open and free to go, okay, we understand the Holocaust happened and we shouldn't just, you know, commit a genocide against people. But also, is it's fair to make a criticism of a group of people based on a set of cultural values that they may share. And that should be open to discuss at the very least.
We're never going to get there.
Oh, no. No, never. But I think that that's kind of how I like to approach things with.
I wonder what your parents would say if you asked them about Kanye.
Probably the exact same thing as me. My parents, I was never raised in an Orthodox home, so they were always very like loose.
Right, sure.
So for example, like I had a bat mitzvah because I love attention. Imagine that. And
no.
I wanted a party about me. And I was willing to put in the work. It's a lot of preparation, especially for like a 12-year-old. But my sister was like, I don't want one because my sister is lazy. So
can you choose?
Again,
So obviously you're not Orthodox, mm-hmm. otherwise you wouldn't have a choice, correct?
If I was Orthodox, I wouldn't have had anything because girls, bat mitzvah is a very progressive thing. It's
really?
Bar mitzvahs are for boys. So boys get bar mitzvahed.
I understand that, but I thought it was
That's like progressive, like new age Judaism that
really?
Girls have a bat mitzvah. But
so before it was only?
It's only men.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yep.
See, I'm learning.
Yeah. So the fact that I even had the option to have a bat mitzvah is very progressive.
It's like a big deal.
Yeah. And then the fact that
well,
my sister
didn't want one
was just like, you know, even more progressive because she's like, I don't even want any part of this shit. Mom was like, all right.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I didn't know that it was really just centered around males.
The whole religion is centered around males. Like if you go to any Orthodox synagogue, the men sit in the front and all the women sit in the back.
Really?
Yeah, like second class citizen shit. Yeah, it's bad.
What would happen if a woman would go to the front? Like as a...
If she Rosa Parks'd it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I'd probably not... It wouldn't be good. Actually, Blitz and I just watched a documentary about a specific sect of Orthodox Judaism, Hasidic Jews, mm-hmm. the curly
sure,
Jews.
Yeah.
And people trying to break out of that because it's crazy.
I've seen.
And it's really interesting because in a lot of communities, they try to get you to stay, right? It's like you try to leave and they try to drag you in. It's the exact opposite. If you decide to leave or you don't follow rules, you're completely ostracized from the community.
Like
your dad,
exist.
Mom, dad don't talk to you. Sisters don't talk to you.
They don't talk to you.
They don't talk to you. And then if there's kids involved, they will find the best Jewish lawyers. They will fucking sue you. They'll take custody of the kids.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. It's really, really, really bad. Yeah. So a lot of people, what happens in a lot of those communities is like police look the other way because it's kind of like a cultural, it's like their own microcosm. So there's a lot of abuse in those situations because the women feel like they can't say anything because if they come out against the man, then the community will ostracize them.
I did not know that.
Yes, but that's a specific, that's like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Orthodox Judaism on steroids. Like it's next level shit.
It's funny. Mm-hmm. Switching gears a little bit.
Yeah.
When Tyler was a little boy.
Yeah.
We went to a restaurant and there were some Hasidic Jews.
was he like, oh, look at those Amish people.
He was just a little guy.
Yeah.
He was so cute. And he said, look, they're all dressed up like Abraham Lincoln. Why are they all dressed up like Abraham Lincoln? And we're like, come over here. Can we sit in that section?
Was it a kosher restaurant or was it a Chinese restaurant? Like,
actually, in all fairness, I don't believe it was Hasidic Jews. It was Amish.
Oh, okay.
Now that I'm thinking about it was up north where in northern Indiana is not a large Jewish community.
Right. But probably Amish.
Which, you know, they wear the men.
It's very similar.
Very similar.
It's very, and it's same sort of deal.
Same. That is true. I do know a lot about that because it's a big Amish community.
Do they, this is a dumb question, do they like speak German? Like, is it in some of those communities? Because
they do have a different, definitely the dialect is,
okay,
is not like, you know, a lot of people where I'm from have like more of a Chicago,
right,
you know, like that nasally northern. Initially, like when I came, my dad still sort of has that, but I not full blown German, but it was a different dialect.
Okay.
And you know, they have horse and buggies.
Right.
Like that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. You see it a lot up there.
Mm-hmm.
No electricity. And one of the families, you remember us talking about the Kralis family, Joe.
Yeah.
The large,
weren't they supposed
family,
to come
very
to
well
Thanksgiving?
Yeah. They were. Uh-huh. They were. There were 12 children. So they had Amish nannies. You know, they had a big mansion. I mean, Amish nannies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Amish nannies would love to come to their house because they could watch TV. They could, you know, electricity. They don't have electricity. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed. They go and drive the cars and go to the, you know, grocery store.
How was the workaround there? Is it just because it wasn't theirs that they could use it?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they were breaking the rules.
Oh,
their parents
okay.
didn't know.
I see.
So they would hire, you know, and they all wanted to volunteer to be nannies
mm-hmm.
for the wealthy families in the area because then they would get air conditioning. I remember we would, you know,
modern
I was a
living.
Little girl and one of the youngest was one of my best friends and the Amish nannies would like take our fingernail polish and they'd paint their nails and put the lip gloss on and then they'd have to wash everything off before they'd go home.
Oh, wow.
And it was, you know, it was like their escape
mm-hmm.
and they would, watch TV and soap operas. And I mean, it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And we were fascinated because we'd never seen, you know, these people like, wait, you have a horse and buggy?
Yeah.
Your dad doesn't have a car?
Yeah.
Like, wait, you don't, everything's by candlelight?
Uh-huh.
I mean, everything's propane, like cooked by fire. I mean, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was really bizarre. But that kind of reminded me.
It's very similar. Like any sort of like strict religion, sect, whether it's Islam or Christianity or Judaism, it's very similar in terms of a lot of rules. And if you break them, you're not part of the group anymore, which I kind of like. I know it sounds weird, but I kind of like appreciate that to an extent because it's like you can't cherry pick.
Right.
You know, I see so many people
in
here where it's like, you know, they're doing blow on Saturday and then Sunday morning they're in church.
Or they're fitness instructors and, you know, I can only eat, you know, this glycemic index and I can only eat this, but they're out drinking every night and doing coke and ecstasy, but yet, you know, they worship their body, like, huh?
Right. So at least with those, even though they're extreme and I want no part of them, I can at least respect the fact that they walk the walk and talk the talk, you know? I mean, obviously some people slip through the cracks, like the documentary we watched about the Hasidic Jews, like this kid who was a Hasidic Jew went to a camp and was like raped by one of the older men. So obviously there's a few bad apples that slipped through the cracks
in life,
in everything.
I think of, you know, when they talk about bad cops, you heard doctors that purposely kill patients.
Sure.
There are bad people, bad humans in every race, religion, profession, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, humans mm-hmm. are good. And I think that money makes good people better and bad people worse.
Hmm.
And so I get that, you know, in every aspect of humanity, there's good and bad.
Right.
You can't, you know, it's not a race or a gender or a religion
or a class
or a class or a profession.
Yeah.
It's good is good and bad is bad.
Right.
Period.
Right. Now, before we get going, now you asked me about my culture. What do you typically do for Christmas? Are there some Clem traditions that you take part in every year? What's the deal with that?
So even growing up, obviously, you know, we all do Christmas trees. I mean, look at that.
Oh, beautiful,
by the way. So,
yes.
You know, growing up, we did the Christmas tree right after Thanksgiving. And then we don't open presents Christmas Eve night. It was Santa comes Christmas Eve night. You go to bed early. I mean, obviously we're past that, except, you know, wait, don't tell. Bubba still believes. So, you know,
I won't break the news to him.
Don't break the news to him.
Yeah, I won't.
And then wake up Christmas morning and open gifts. And then, you know, have like a dinner late afternoon, like usually ham we would have at Christmas.
Mm-hmm. But what are the other traditional side dishes? Is it
like
mashed potatoes?
Yeah, or scalloped potatoes.
Okay.
And
like, how does this differ from Thanksgiving?
Ham.
Ham is the big
ham,
one, right?
But we've sort of changed that in because it was so hard, you know, like growing up when Tyler was little, he didn't like ham or he didn't like the potatoes and he only liked this. And then Bubba doesn't like that. And then my dad, you know.
No pickles.
Right. So I don't like pickles either.
Huh.
Nor does my husband.
Huh.
I don't know. Maybe it's a Midwestern thing. Actually, my mom likes pickles.
Okay.
So what we have done, because I always host, is I make lasagna. And everyone loves lasagna.
Right.
It's kind of the dish. And then I'll make, you know, some, like one with, like for you, I'd make it just cheese and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to put like sometimes grilled caramelized onions and peppers.
Yeah.
And then I'll make the classic meat and cheese and have, you know, garlic bread with cheese
salad
and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I'm not making 15 different things for 15 different people.
Easy. Yeah.
It's easier that way. We all get together and open gifts on Christmas Day.
Okay.
And then spend the day together.
At your house. Yep. Okay.
My mom usually comes over Christmas Eve night, my mom and stepdad. Bubba's always invited, but he's usually like at the track or doing something. And we hang out.
So they spend the night there at your place?
Not spend the night.
Oh.
Well, they used to until they moved close. But mom and I would finish like wrapping gifts and, you know, kind of hang out. And then the next day they come back and around noon, one, we open gifts and just hang out. It's real chill. You know, we've never been like, you know, we weren't really raised in a church. We were raised Christian, but more non-denominational, you know, no like any major traditional
shoved
things
down other, your throat.
Than, other than, you know, Christmas Eve, Santa comes. You wake
Did
up.
You even ever go to church like growing up?
A little bit. My initially when we were young, we went to like a non-denominational Christian church. Just mom, my dad never went. Mom would take us and, you know, I went to Sunday school and then, unfortunately the pastor was a little bit of a weirdo and like, kind of liked
weirdo.
My mom.
Oh, well,
and so
thank God it wasn't Bubba. You know what I mean?
Like, honestly,
it could have been worse.
Right. And like, you know how sometimes they'll have Bible classes at night where they come to your house.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember this pastor would come to our house.
Trying to fuck.
My mom kind of, cause then we just stopped going.
Right.
And I mean, I hated it because, I didn't like Sunday school. I mean, I don't know. It was weird. Not because of the religious aspect. I just, you know, I was little and I didn't want to get up Sunday and go be away from
Understood.
My mom and my brother had to go to a different Sunday class because the older kids and so we did that for a little bit and then we just stopped going. Later, I found out this pastor was like, I mean, nothing happened. My mom clearly stopped it. But you know, he was getting a little too friendly and weird with my mom. And my mom was like, Now, my parents were still married. My dad was never around, but my mom was trying to get us involved
in the community.
And then later, so we never really, after that, didn't go to church. And then probably middle school, my parents started going, I think, to a Presbyterian church. And we would go every, like, holidays, like that type, you know, Easter, Christmas Eve, you know. But it was never, like, a thing for us. I mean, and I know this sounds really corny, but, I mean, for me, religion, I don't agree with organized religion. I think it is so hypocritical, because if our Creator is supposed to love and forgive everyone, love everyone unconditionally, then every church thinks that they're right and everyone else is wrong. So I don't get that. And so for me, and I know this is so corny, and I'm sure the Bubba Army people are going to take a shit on this.
Yeah.
But for me, like, the ultimate religion is just is love. Uh-huh. It's how you...
they're going to shit on this.
It's how you... 100%.
Yeah.
It's how you treat people.
Yeah.
And it's how you act and how you, you know, pay it forward, and kindness and love and unconditional. That, to me, is the ultimate... form of religion.
Right.
So I believe
just code of conduct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just being respectful and loving everyone. You don't have to like or agree, but having, you know, even if it's not acceptance, tolerance. And, you know, to me, like, love is the ultimate religion. Like, how could you get, if we all came from the same place, which I do think we all came from the same place, how can these people be right and these people be right and this religion be right? And then there's this, and then you can't, you know, to me, if our Creator would want everyone to love and accept everyone unconditionally,
right,
how can there be all these sets of rules that were created by these people? That
our God is the right God and they're following the wrong God. So we got to help bring him over
and
to our
side.
And that
makes no sense to me. So that's why religion, I don't understand it, because to me, I think we all came from the same place. And so how can all, you know, all of these spiraled, you know, businesses, because that's what religion is to me, and a scam, I think. I do respect people's beliefs and I'm fascinated by it, but I don't understand, if we all came from the same place, how people, there are certain people that are right, wrong. And, you know, I don't get any of that. So that, and I think probably
we're a very tribal species, and that goes down to even things like, you know, what city you're from, what sports team you like. I mean, and then obviously big things like religion
and I think my
politics.
Mom is probably that come from the, that is probably my mom's, you know, if I can't speak for her, but I think she probably believes the same thing, because she never taught us that any religion, you know, like, she taught us to be fascinated with what other people believe and other races and cultures and religions, like, you know, learn about these people. Like, that's a cool thing. So that's kind of what I believe. Tariq is with me on that. He
doesn't strike me as an overly
agnostic, I think,
religious person.
No.
Yeah, no.
Not at all.
Yeah,
but his father was raised, you know, in Egypt, very religious. But his dad is not anymore. But that, we're both in
on
line
the same
with
page.
That.
That's such an important thing that took me a minute to learn, is when you have a partner, is like, you should be on the same page in it doesn't have to be on everything, obviously, but important things like values and religion.
I don't know if I could marry somebody who's like, so first of all, I think organized religion is a crock. I think it's, you know, scam artists and, you know, people that hurt people and want to take advantage of the weak-minded.
Sure.
And so I don't...
It's a great business model.
Right. And I think me being so open-minded allows me to respect and learn, but I don't have to...
You're not going
to
be duped.
I'm not going to co-sign.
Yeah.
I think it makes me sick when I think about, like, these televangelists and...
And who is falling for that, and...
It hurts me. And these people that have, you know, given all their life savings to this... I don't want to say the name because I don't want to be on a hit list, but a so-called religion that's around this area that starts with an S. You know, like, it makes me sad.
Whatever could you mean? Yeah.
Torture, you know? So I don't like organized religion. It makes me so uncomfortable, but I'm so open-minded that I believe in acceptance and tolerance.
Yeah.
You know?
If that's truly
what
they
people,
want.
I know that everyone's going to be like, what a bunch of, you know, what a rube, and oh, that's such a cliche. And
yeah, it is, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
No,
like, you know,
I really love everybody. I really do. If you're a bad person, you know, I
love you less.
I want nothing to do with you, but you know, it's such a wonderful place to be in your headspace, though.
Yeah.
It really is. It relieves everything, mm-hmm. you know. It's allows me to learn a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm a knowledge junkie. Which, speaking, before we wrap up, a couple things.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new Chris Hemsworth National Geographic Limitless?
No.
It's right up your alley.
I'm sorry, you said Netflix? Or
National Geographic.
Okay.
So he goes, essentially he faces all of his fears. So it's fascinating. And I'm so into
this.
This
is not the Zac Efron deal. That's a different one.
Yeah, different, totally different. Okay. And in fact, Hemsworth just discovered that he is, both of his parents, he inherited on both sides the gene for Alzheimer's. So he's taking a break from acting. Because it's just, check it out, Limitless. It's amazing. And I'm like,
it's,
I want to go do all this stuff. Yeah, he like faces all of his fears.
Okay.
And there's a psychiatrist that goes along with him. I mean, it's
okay, I got to check it out.
And I also want to take bets, because obviously the white elephant, what is your guess on who's going to have the most outrageous gift? And what is your guess on our family Christmas if Bubba is going to insist on recording it?
Well, that's pretty much a guarantee.
Okay.
Some aspect of it he's going to want to record, whether it's popping the button on Christmas style.
So gross.
And he's gonna make, well, he'll probably have Merch Crick do it, but your stepfather did a horrible job. He tried his very best, but he was just recording all the wrong parts. He was
so
like,
gross.
Record the pop.
That's just so gross to me, all of that.
I'm like your mom. I like watching that stuff.
I know it really does something.
It does something for me. And the first, who's going to have the craziest gift?
Do you guys have like a limit? Is there like
a spending
cap?
I think it's like, last year, I think it was like $50 was the cap. I already know what I'm getting.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay.
For the people, whoever the people are.
Dan will have the most luxurious, over the top, don't you think?
Dan in the past has given out envelopes in a very Italian style.
That's a good man.
Yes, he's a very generous man. We keep calling him Chris in my head, but Blitz, because, you know, after 10 a.m. I'm like, he's Chris.
Yeah, you gotta switch.
Yeah, he switches, but he's Blitz for now. His MO has been like to get a really shitty gift. So last year I got like the worst gift, but there was a $100 bill in the side of it. So it was like these, what was it? It was like these like rocks you put water on and it like forms like a little crystal deal, like that you would get like an 8-year-old.
Right.
And
right.
I was like,
it's like getting a chia pet.
Yeah. It was probably like a $12 deal. And I was just so fucking mad for the whole, like,
whose
exchange.
Gift was that?
It was from
he put $100 in it?
Yeah. So he put like $100 bill in it. I didn't know that. So I'm like, I'm stuck with this fucking lame ass gift, just like my arms crossed. I'm
that's
like,
a cool
sucks.
God, that's creative.
And it turns out he's like, it was the best gift of all because it was fucking
that
cash
is
money.
Creative.
Yeah. So that was funny.
That's
pretty good.
So there's no spending cap right now that you know of. Around 50.
I think last year was 50.
So I really am going to be interested in hearing the gifts.
Yeah. 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 And I'm excited. And I know you're not going to say anything. I did get Bubba a little something.
It's the best.
He's going to like that.
Gifts.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I'll present him. When are you going to give that to him? That night?
Probably that night.
Okay.
Yeah. I figured
I might have to bring the ding dong cake just to see that.
Excellent. Well, Tara, thank you so much for
stopping by
again.
I feel like I can't believe anyone would want to listen to us. And I love
and
you.
They and fucking
I think,
love it.
I think you're amazing. I love you. You know that.
I do know
and
that.
And I think you're so talented and so intelligent. But I just can't. I don't know who the hell would want to listen. So thank
you know
you,
what?
Everyone.
It's taken me a few years to just accept that people understand that we have something to say and they want to listen to it.
And that's so weird.
You
to
know,
me.
It is weird.
And I almost feel like Bubba's blowing smoke up my ass when he's like telling me about the downloads and how people are reaching out
really
to him
puts
about
it over
this.
The top. Yeah, I've had people reach out to me multiple times asking.
I have too.
Yes.
So okay. Thank you, everyone.
Yes, they want to
because
hear you. Please,
I
more.
I do not feel like I'm an interesting person,
but you are.
Well,
so you have to accept that.
Are.
Okay. Well,
no,
we both are. We both are. How about that? Just accept
right.
it. Accept it, bitch.
I Happy
love you.
Happy holidays. I love
Merry
you,
Christmas, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hopefully we didn't go. Did I get too much down the rabbit?